Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the
Yes.
conference call in which the Executive Vice Chairman and CEO of Pirelli, Mr. Marco Tronchetti Provera, will present Pirelli's financial results for the 9 months 2018. I remind you that a Q&A session will follow after the presentation. Moreover, a live webcast of the event and the presentation slides are available in the Investor Relations section of the Pirelli website. I would now like to introduce Mr. Marco Tronchetti Provera.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our conference call today. In a very volatile market environment, Pirelli delivered prominent results, being the only Tier 1 player to improve profitability both in 9 months and in the third quarter. And here is why. Our high-value strategy is proving resilient, and our programs and results in this area are on track. We are cutting costs with a short-term crash program to deal with the LATAM crisis and with additional action in 2019, thanks to the benefit related to the patent box, as we already announced, to continue to support a double-digit reduction in startup and high-value strategy. Let me briefly recall the two key factors which explain why our strategy is unique. First reason is our choice of positioning. We position ourselves in the high-value market. This segment has a very healthy growth in the past, but also in the future. Prestige and premium car park is growing, and importantly, the 18 inches and above tire market is growing 10% this year, 10 times more than the 17 inches and below market. The value market is also protected by technological and complexity barriers. Customer demand is calling for an increasing number of car models per brand, and within those, an increasing number of fitments and rim sizes. All this compounded with a higher number of technical requirements and the superior sophistication demanded by prestige and premium OEMs. This trend is even more marked for electric vehicles. Here, tires have to meet additional technical requirements, such as high load, capacity, and aerodynamics, and much lower rolling resistance. The second factor behind our unique strategy is our distinctive business model. The model is built on the integration of many components, but let me just recall five of them. First, we collaborate with very demanding OEMs to their vehicle development, and today we retain the largest portfolio of marked tires homologations. Second, through our collaboration with OEMs, the homologation portfolio and our own marketing site, we have an early visibility on tire replacement demand for the years to come. Third, this visibility allows us to secure a robust pull-through replacement demand. Fourth, as growing variety in product offering can create complexity costs, we have implemented new flow processes in our plants, which support mass customization. Finally, we control the high-value consumer experience at retail level by growing our coverage through car dealers and Pirelli retail. Having recalled our strategy pillars, let me turn to our results in the first 9 months. As mentioned, in high value, we are fully on track with the guidance. In the 18 inches and above, our volumes grew faster than the global market. We keep on strengthening our strategic levers at a rapid pace. We added 260 new high-value homologations, 45% of which in specialties. We doubled our available homologated fitments on electric vehicles compared to the previous year. Our high-value capacity grew by 2.6 million pieces, reaching almost 60% of total capacity. We have improved our control over the last mile, channeling 55% of our sales to the car dealers, Pirelli retail, and Tier 1 customers, versus 51% on full year 2017. Our high-value revenues experienced a double-digit organic growth with an EBIT margin of around 25%. In the standard business, we have taken cost measures to respond to the deteriorating LATAM environment and accelerated the reduction of our exposure to standard. In particular, we are implementing our crash program to cut costs by 50 million euros by the end of the year, of which 30 million recurring that are producing a structural cost basis reduction in 2019. Of the 50 million cost reduction, 40% are affecting LATAM, but the remaining 60, the other regions and the headquarters. These actions mainly concern labor, plant overheads, marketing budget and advertising, purchasing negotiations. Thanks to benefits related to the patent box, as we already announced, additional cost-cutting actions in line with what we have done in 2018 will be implemented in 2019 to continue to support the double-digit reduction in standard and the high-value strategy. Getting into more detail in the first 9 months, we recorded a sound organic growth of revenues plus 4.4%, supported by a further strengthening of our positioning in the high-value segment, which now accounts for more than 64% of sales. In the face of the deteriorating scenario in LATAM, we proved to the resilience of our business model and our responsiveness to headwinds by posting a significant profitability increase with an EBIT margin of 18.7%. Our solid operating performance combined with a strong reduction in the cost of debt and the patent box benefits boosted our net income that grew 90% versus the first 9 months of 2017, reaching 9.6% of sales. Following the agreement with the Italian Tax Office signed in October 15, 2018, the benefit relating to 2015-2017 period and the expected benefit for 2018 is reflected in an estimated full-year tax rate, which is the base of the calculation of the tax charge for the first 9 months, 2018. Finally, the net debt reflects the usual seasonality of the working capital, which absorbs cash in the first 9 months and returns in the last quarter of the year. Mr. Sala will add some more color to that. Let's talk about regions now, starting from high-value regions, which account for 80% of the group sales and 93% of high-value revenues. In Europe, we reinforce our leadership in high-value, with market share gain in car ties 18 inches and above, both in the original equipment and replacement channel. The new emission test on CO2 modified the OE business seasonality, with sales concentrated in the first half of the year and a contraction in the third quarter. The negative WLTP impact is progressively easing and Pirelli, thanks to its exposure to prestige and premium car makers, is expecting a lower impact on the fourth quarter. In the replacement channel, our positive performance is the result of the pull-through effect and a more pervasive presence in the car dealer channel. In the standard segment, we keep on restricting our exposure to the less profitable products. The mix improvement and efficiency gains draw the profitability enhancement to the high teens range. In NAFTA, we keep growing high-value sales, especially in the replacement channel, driven by the success of our regional all-season products and increasing coverage with our retail distribution network. In the original equipment business, we keep on expanding our homologation portfolio, adding new partnerships with local car makers. Profitability went back to the 20s range as a result of the mix improvement and a stronger dollar. APAC seized the opportunity offered by the high-value segment, confirming the highest growth on profitability among all regions. We recorded a 25% organic growth in high-value sales as a result of a strong performance in the original equipment channel, consistent in all quarters, consolidating our leadership and expanding our client base to local and innovative car makers, and an improved positioning in the replacement channel through a robust pull-through effect and a wider distribution network. Standard regions account for 21% of our sales and just 7% of our high-value revenues. The macroeconomic environment in Latin America is challenging. GDP growth is slowing down and currencies are highly volatile. The tire market is weakening. In the first 9 months, the replacement market was down 6%, minus 11% just in the third quarter. The trend was even worse in Brazil, where the replacement market reached a minus 17% in the third quarter. In this context, we keep focusing on mix improvement. However, the weak market demand did not allow us to implement the price increase we had planned. We promptly reacted to the market weakness by implementing a crash program on costs. This maneuver allowed us to contain the impact of lower sales on the EBIT We ended the first 9 months with revenues down 4% year-over-year in organic terms, and the profitability in the mid-single-digit range declining by more than 1 percentage point year-over-year. In MEAI, our performance discounts the exchange rate volatility, mainly related to the Turkish lira, and a macroeconomic slowdown in the region. In this scenario, cost-cutting actions and local price increases, particularly in Turkey, were activated to protect our profitability. Finally, in Russia and CIS, our focus on the most profitable segments allowed us to grow both sales and profitability with an EBIT margin in the high teens range. Let's discuss the way we expect to close 2018. We confirm our operating profitability target, leveraging on both high value and actions to counter the deteriorating scenario in South America. Our performance in high value confirms its robustness with a 13% growth in volumes. In addition, we are accelerating the reduction of exposure to standard with a 12% volume drop, minus 9% in our August guidance. This will result in a 2% decrease in total volumes, flat the previous indication. Price mix is expected to post a solid plus 6.5%, although in the low range of our guidance, because prices could not be increased in Brazil in the third quarter. The price maneuver planned would have produced a price mix improvement of at least 7%. Hence, organic top-line growth is due to reach approximately 4.5%. A value will account for approximately 64% of total revenues and more than 83% of our profitability. Adjusted EBIT before startup costs is confirmed to be above 1 billion. The increased volatility of exchange rates, lower volumes, and the performance of the business in South America will be offset by high efficiency exceeding input costs by about 20 million, a zero balance the previous indication. A cost-cutting crash program worth 50 million, out of which 30 million are recurring. A lower raw material headwind from 60 to 50 million. Through the net efficiency and the recurring cost reduction, we are structurally lowering our 2019 cost base by approximately 50 million. Adjusted EBIT is confirmed to be approximately 1 billion, net of 40 million startup costs. Our leverage is expected to reach about 2.35 times net debt EBITDA over adjusted EBITDA, discounting the impact of South America. CapEx is in line with the previous guidance. And now I leave the floor to Mr. Sala for a detailed review of the first 9 months' results. Please, Mr. Sala.
Thank you, Mr. Tronchetti, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In the first 9 months of 2018, we recorded an organic growth of more than 4%. In a high value, we posted a 12% volume growth. Within this segment, the performance was more pronounced in car tires 18 inches and above, with a volume growth of 16.5% compared with the 10.5% of the market. In the standard, where the market is slowing down, especially in Latin America, we reduced our exposure, with volumes declining by about 11%. We keep boosting the price mix, plus 6.2% in the first 9 months, by also improving mix in both the high value and the standard segments, and increasing prices in emerging markets to compensate for the volatility of exchange rates in those countries. While we were successful in implementing price increases in Turkey and in Argentina, the difficult market environment prevented us from increasing prices in Brazil in the third quarter. Had we been able to implement it, this price maneuver would have brought our group price mix to a plus 6.7% improvement both in the third quarter and the first 9 months. Finally, the negative Forex impact, minus 6.6% in the period, reflects the volatility of the emerging markets' currencies, mainly the Brazilian real, the Russian ruble, the Argentinian peso, and the Turkish lira versus the euro. If we factor in the impact of Forex and the new IFRS 15 accounting standards, Pirelli Group sales decreased by about 3%. Let's now look at the drivers behind the 60 million euro increase in adjusted EBIT from the first 9 months of 2017 to the same period of 2018, which brought our adjusted EBIT margin to 17.8%, almost 2 percentage points more year-over-year. The profitability improvement in the first 9 months was the result of our internal levers, namely price mix, efficiencies, and the cash program. Price mix improvement more than compensates for raw materials and forex headwinds, as well as depreciation and amortizations and other costs. Industrial efficiencies programs were accelerated and more than offset cost inflation. These programs involved industrial and product activities, from the optimization of raw material cost and product simplification to productivity improvement through a greater digitalization of processes. And a cash program for about 20 million euro was implemented in the third quarter to deal with a time crisis by cutting labor costs, plant overheads, marketing and advertising expenses, as well as G&A, both locally and globally. These internal levers, price mix, efficiencies, and the cash program, are the main drivers of the EBIT growth also in the last quarter of the year, allowing us to reach our targets. Net income before discontinued operations was almost twice that of the same period of 2017. This result mainly reflected the improvement in the operating performance just discussed, a better financial profile with financial charges which are about half those in the same period of 2017, and lower taxes following the benefit recognition related to the patent box. Tax rate for the first 9 months stands at around 15%, stable compared to the same period of 2017, which benefited mainly from the one-off booking of deferred tax assets on tax losses. The tax rate for the full year 2018 is expected to be in the range of 15% to 18%. As above mentioned, the patent box benefit is expected to cover the additional cost-cutting actions with no significant impact on net income. Said benefit will have a positive impact on the cash flow starting from 2020, mainly due to the availability of other tax attributes, i.e. tax losses carried forward, and ACE, allowance for corporate equity, carried forward. The average consolidated tax rate for the 2018-2020 period is expected to range between 26 and 28%, in line with the average tax rate for 2017-2020 industrial plan that was lower than 30%. Excluding all the one-offs and non-recurring items, net income adjusted amounted to 404 million euro in the first 9 months of 2018, versus 258 million euro in the same period of 2017. We closed the first 9 months with a net debt of about 4 billion euro. The operating cash flow was negative for 634 million euro, impacted by investments of 297 million euro, mainly devoted to increase the high-value capacity in Europe and NAFTA, the conversion of standard capacity into high-value in Brazil, and the constant improvement of mix and quality in all factories. Absorption of working capital in the first 9 months of the year for 1.245 million euro, the performance of working capital discounts and increase in inventories as a result of the slowdown in the replacement market in LATAM and actions to increase sales in the US from Brazilian sources on the one end, and on the other, the improvement of the level of service in high value. The reduction of commercial debt, which continued in the third quarter, and the growth of commercial credits linked to the seasonality of the winter business, the receipts of which are cashed in the fourth quarter. As usual, the working capital trend is expected to reverse in the last quarter of the year due to cash generation deriving from the receipt of commercial credits in conjunction with the winter sellout, the containment of inventories thanks to the reduction of standard production capacity, and the increase of commercial debts also due to the usual weight of investments in the last quarter of the year. All of this will bring us to a cash flow generation slightly below 1 billion euro in the last quarter of the year, reaching a net financial position over adjusted EBITDA ratio of 2.35x, 2.3x if we exclude the LATAM impact. Pirelli's gross debt amounted to 4.8 billion euro at the end of September 2018, with an average life of 2.8 years, as more than 80% of it is now due beyond 2019. The cost of debt on annual basis, last 12 months, is down to 3.51% from the 5.52% of September 2017. This result is mainly due to interest rate reduction in Brazil from approximately 11.75% to approximately 6.8%, a more favorable year-over-year comparison because nine months 2017 results included 61 million euro of fee washdown relating to our previous credit line reimbursed ahead of time in June 2017, a lower level at cheaper cost of debt thanks to the capital injection made by Marco Polo in June 2017 and the refinancing of our main bank lines last year. Indeed, such refinances allow us to maintain interest expenses unaffected by the current volatile market scenario in Europe, while leaving room for reduction in accordance with our deleveraging profile. Finally, please note that the above-mentioned 3.51% cost of debt is already adjusted for the accounting effects from the repricing of our main bank facilities occurred in January. This repricing produced a one-off benefit of approximately 30 million euro, bringing the nominal cost of debt down to 3.05%. This benefit is being amortized during the life of the facilities. I now leave the floor back to Mr. Tronchetti.
Thank you, Mr. Sala. This ends our presentation, and now we may open the Q&A session.
Sir, excuse me, this is the conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question comes from Mr. Martino De Ambroggi of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yep. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. The first question is on the drop-through of the price mix because in the previous call, in my notes, I have the second half was expected around 72%-73%. Is it entirely due to the lower drop-through we saw in Q3 to the delay in the price increase in Brazil, or is there any other justification for this difference?
Due to the not increase of price in Brazil and also to the lower growth of the high-value volumes in the third quarter due also to the reduction of the market in the original equipment in Europe. In any case, the drop-through was 63% on price mix in the third quarter, in line with the first half. For the last quarter of the year, we expect a drop-through on price mix that will be in the region of 70% thanks to a higher weight of high-value and winter tire, and also a positive contribution coming from channel mix. You may remember that in the last quarter of the year, replacement is usually higher than original equipment. And also, price increase in emerging markets should also contribute.
Okay. Thank you. And the second is on the price increases that you announced today in the U.S. Just to have an overview, what is the environment not only in the U.S., just to understand if you are a follower, first mover, or what else in this area. But apart from Brazil, you already discussed what is the scenario in Asia and in Europe. Thank you.
Yes. Good evening. Casaluci speaking. So if we talk about the high-value regions, Europe, China mainly, and the U.S., the situation is on price stability for the time being in Europe as well as in China, While in the US, as we announced yesterday, we are going to apply a price list increase of up to 6%, which is a scenario more or less shared with the main player of the market. While if we talk about emerging markets, we started to apply the price increase following the devaluation of the Argentinian pesos and the Turkish lira. We also applied price without reaching the target we had in Brazil, price increase, and we continue to do it in the last quarter of the year.
Okay, if I may, very last on the cost-cutting measure. This is the second quarter in a row you are cutting costs without having evidence of non-recurring costs in the P&L. When you announced the patent box benefit, you also talked about the matching of this benefit with the cost, but could you elaborate just to understand what are they referring to and when we should expect eventually non-recurring costs and with cash or non-cash impact? Thank you.
So what we have done has been mainly in Brazil to cut costs. We started in the third quarter, as we announced in August, and we increased from 20 to 50 million the cost cutting, of which 30 million are recurring. And that is what is producing a structural reduction of cost basis in 2019. 40% of these 50 million are affecting LATAM, while the remaining 60% is in the other regions and headquarters. These actions mainly are related to labor, plant overheads, marketing budget, advertising, purchasing negotiation. Through recurring cost reduction, 30 million, and the net efficiency gain, 20 million, we are structurally lowering our 2019 cost base, as I mentioned before in my presentation. And so the cost base will be approximately 50 million below what was in the plan before. We will have additional actions thanks to the 50 million of restructuring cost we announced we are using to an extra action to reduce cost to keep the shape of reduction of standard, double digit next year, and to continue the high value strategy.
Okay, but in terms of non-recurring costs, with or without cash out?
No cash out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Kai Mueller of Bank of America, Merrill Lynch.
Thank you very much for taking the question. Maybe just on the cost cutting, actually, to come back to the point. You mentioned, obviously, the 50 million you're now cutting. How deep does that go in terms of how much does it impact your possible growth profile for the next years?
These 30 million of these are... they are structural, and so this is for the cost cutting, and so we reduced, as I was saying before, our cost basis for next year by 50 million.
And then maybe to think about next year, actually, obviously your standard volumes have now been a lot lower than what we've been seeing before. You had sort of single-digit declines, now it's double-digit. How do we need to think about it next year? Will you continue on the path of accelerated declines, or could we see at some point also a recovery in those standard volumes again?
No, we expect to continue the trend. That's why I mentioned that the 50 million of restructuring costs will be dedicated to reduce our cost basis. So the reduction of standard double digit requires a reduction of fixed cost, obviously. And so what we are now going to implement with the 50 million is an extra reduction of fixed cost in order to continue the trend of profitability thanks to the growth of high value.
Okay. And then to come back to the question earlier on your price increases of up to 6%, you said it's in line with other peers. Some of the other peers I've heard were more like 1 or 2%. How much do you believe of this up to six can stick and we could see?
But the answer is easy. It depends on the trend of raw materials. Obviously, now we have to cover part of the increase of oil price that has been affecting the last few months and now is a bit less, pronounced. But it really depends on the trend for the next months. The largest part of the analysts, they expect to have an oil price increase in the coming months. So we are ready, thanks to this announcement, to align immediately the prices to the cost, to the input cost increase.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. It's just a check on the volume side. If I have understood well, Pirelli is going to cut the standard tires at a double-digit rate even in 2019. Is it correct? And if it's correct, can I ask you, what are you expecting in terms of a total volume growth? Should we expect a flat trend for volumes in 2019, or the growth in high value will manage to offset the rest in terms of volumes? Thank you very much.
So volumes in the 18 inches and above in the high value will continue a growth, a double-digit growth. This is in the market already. It doesn't depend only on original equipment. So this is the what is already in the market, talking about 18 inches and above, where we have the pull-through effect. I remind you that Pirelli has a pull-through effect of 80%, has reached 8%, and we target to do even better. So thanks to this, the existing car park makes us in a position to grow double-digit in the replacement. In the original equipment, we don't see any sign of weakness, but in case it will be weakened, people will change the tires if they don't buy a new car. So in any scenario, 18 inches and above marked tires, we see a double-digit growth considering both original equipment and replacement volumes. So volume-wise, a double-digit growth in 18 inches and above. The top line will not grow much. That will depend on the exchange rate scenario. That will depend on raw materials. But the fact is that our profitability do not depend on the top line itself. Our profitability depends on the growth on 18 inches and above on a high value. And we expect a double-digit growth in that area. The standard reduction will not affect, if not positively, our profitability, because the programs we have of cost cutting, mainly fixed cost, it's obviously offsetting the effect of reduction of standards. So all in all, we see an increase in profitability even in an environment where volumes will not grow all in all. The important thing is a double-digit growth in the high value, and that is already in the market.
Got it. Perfect. Very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Gaetan Tolomond of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Gaetan Tolomond, Deutsche Bank speaking. Just a few questions. The first one, is it possible to get an order of magnitude between OE and replacement on 18 inches and above? Rough idea, the breakdown of that volume.
75-25, depends.
Okay, 75 OE.
this is overall. If we consider 18 inches and above, is more or less 45-55.
Okay, 45. So you sell more in replacement than in OE?
More in replacement than in OE, yes.
Okay.
It is growing, this, because this is related to the growth in China that is over 20%. As you know, on the original equipment, the car park is growing fast in China. So that growth of the car park with 18 inches and above is providing a continuous growth of the ratio in favor of the replacement looking forward.
Okay. Second question. You just talked about China. I'm positively surprised that you are not affected by any kind of slowdown from the Chinese situation right now, because you're growing at a double digit. It's still the same in the fourth quarter or the trend in the coming quarters? You don't see a slowdown as some others are feeling the pain?
We don't see any slowdown in the original equipment. The replacement market continues to be strong, and both are strong. What is interesting is that the car park is growing, is a new car park. So the stock, the number of cars in the market grew in the last few years, homologated with Pirelli tires, in a way that we see a double-digit growth for the next years, even if there will be a slowdown on original equipment, because the car park is a new car park, and the peak of sales on replacement happens after 6 years that one new vehicle is launched. So we have visibility for the next years, and we see that the double-digit growth will happen in 18 inches and above, even in an environment where the original equipment could slow down. It's not the case now. It continues to grow, and it continues to grow double-digit.
Okay, that's clear. Two very small questions. Raw materials, what kind of increase do you expect for 2019, order of magnitude? Are we talking about low single-digit growth? Is it what we're talking about, or more than that?
We do not expect a double-digit growth of Romat for the next months. We see an economy that is not so bullish, and average when the economy is not bullish, except the trend of the oil that could sometimes go in different directions. We don't see a double-digit growth.
Okay. Last question for Mr. Salam. On the financial charge, I've been a little bit very surprised about the number in the third quarter. Can you give us an idea about what could be the run rate of financial charge for next year as an order of magnitude?
Mr. Tanzi is answering.
Thank you. Francesco Tanzi speaking. Good evening. For what is concerning 2019, we expect to have a cost of debt below what we have basically given during the IPO plan, that were below 5%. As you remember, for this year, we indicated below 4% cost of debt on a consolidated basis. And we believe that we will stick to the target of having the cost below 5%.
Okay, can you help me to get the number in absolute terms? It's easier for me. Thank you.
No other questions?
Financial charge in absolute term?
Excuse me, sir, I'm sorry. Mr. Gaetan Tolomond, ask another question.
No, yes, I already answered. I mentioned that we are talking about a financial charge which is below 200 million on a yearly basis.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Besson of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'd like to come back to the minimum effect of the OE decline on your business. I mean, both Europe and APAC had a decline in production which was relatively meaningful in Q3 and should again be relatively meaningful in Q4. could you explain how your volumes, notably in APAC, go up so much in the context of declining production, including for most of the premium automakers? Could you detail if you have new contracts or if you're gaining market share, or what's driving your growth?
As you know, if we compare us to our competitors, you have to keep in mind that we don't play the standard game. So we are only in the high value in APAC. And if you look to the main car makers that are our clients, their growth is still double digit. Mercedes announced a 13% increase, Audi an 11% increase, BMW a 10% increase. So and we have also some new customers, Asian customers in China. We are entering in new homologations. So we see this segment of the market, this precise segment, totally different from the average standard market. So you cannot compare our business model to our competitors.
Okay. So can you explain what are the Asian premium customers you're getting, please?
Mr. Casalucci.
Yes, apart from the traditional one, the big German car makers that Mr. Tronchetti mentioned before, we are developing Asian premium car makers. For example, we are start working with Hyundai, starting with a high end of their product range in the Genesis platform. We are also developing a local relationship with the Chinese players, but focusing always only in the high value, in the high range of their product portfolio, like Dongfeng, for example. And we are focusing mainly on the electric vehicle in this, always in these segments of high value, working both with the traditional car makers and with some interesting newcomers into the automotive sectors.
Very clear, thank you. I have a last question, please, for Mr. Salah. On the bridge, you have a positive DNA others of 4.3 in Q3, while traditionally it's a negative line. Can you explain why you managed to get a positive figure there and what we should expect for the full year on this line, please? Thank you.
When you talk about bridge, you talk about EBIT bridge, I think.
I talk about the EBIT bridge. Yeah. In the EBIT bridge,
okay, thank you.
You have a plus 4.3 million figure for DNA others, which is minus 33 for the 9 months. And I don't think it had been positive in a quarter since the IPO. So I'd like to know why it was positive on the quarter and what we should expect for the year.
Excuse me, in order to understand really the question, you were talking about the efficiencies of 43 million euro?
No. Mr. Salah, DNA, depreciation and amortization, others. So it's one of the figure you're showing in the EBIT bridge. So if you look at...
No. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. I understood. Now, for what concerns depreciation and other costs, there was the usual trend in the third quarter of the increase of depreciation, also the increase of the cost that are the cost that we are continuously following for the growth of the high value in the high value region. But in the third quarter, we start with the cost, the crash program action on cost, and so you can see that on the chart 13 that we reduce cost in terms of cost cutting by 21 million euro. As it was said before, we work at 360 degree on all categories of cost in order to flexibilize the cost starting from the factories to the reduction of the standard. So working on labor cost, working on all the overhead cost of the factories, then working on the marketing, advertising in budget and they're working on G&A. So the effects of this happen in the third quarter. In the last quarter of the year, we will use, we will have another positive effect because we will do action for 30 million. This action will be for the full year 50 million more versus the beginning of the year, and 30 million more versus what we forecasted in August, because already in August we gave a guidance that we wanted to work on 20 million of reduction of cost. Besides this, we are working also to increase efficiencies, because our guidance at the beginning of the year was to have efficiencies of 50 million in line with input cost of 50 million, so to have a balance from inflation and efficiencies. Currently, we are working to increase efficiency from 50 million to 70 million, so to have a positive balance of 20 million also for what concerns efficiency and input cost. And this is a trend that we already had also in the third quarter, in which the efficiencies were 24 million versus input cost that were 40 million. So the kind of action in order to have 50 million more of cost as represented before.
It's very clear. Thank you. Sorry, I had missed the fact that part of the cost cutting were within that bucket instead of efficiencies. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Belloni of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Just a couple of questions on my side. The first one is about the patent box. Can you give us a guidance about the impact of a patent box in terms of net cash? So do you expect patent box to have a full impact on 2018, or are you planning to have a kind of partial impact also next year? And my second question is about the restructuring process to be put in place for the standard production capacity. How much do you plan to invest in this restructuring process in 2019?
So, first of all, patent box cash in will be 2020. that is the idea. We will capitalize also the 2018. So when you ask how much will be spent on restructuring costs, we say today that this is 50 million. There could be some additional opportunities coming from the future effect of the patent box. So we are just analyzing all the opportunities we have to continue this process of reduction, as I mentioned before, double digit of standard, and cutting the fixed costs related, and we have an opportunity to do it without an effect on our cash flow, thanks to the positive effect of the patent box.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Henning Cosman of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I would like to understand the weight between standard and high value a bit better. Until most recently, it was still volume-wise 60-40 in favor of standard. Is that still a good base to calculate going forward? So, and if I apply that, I obviously still get to negative overall volumes for 2018, or 19 rather. So I wanted to understand what the mixed contribution then should be. Is it then fair to assume to assume a similar mix as we've seen in 2018?
No, we drive towards 50-50.
Already this year?
Yes.
Okay. And then on a 50-50 basis going forward, double-digit standard decline and double-digit high-value increase, what's the mix we should think of next year then?
No. We expect 20. We will be close to 50 this year. Next year will be lower. The standard will be lower than 50%.
I understand. And then
and price mix around 5%.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank you. Second question on the tax rate. If I can clarify, you said 15 to 18% for 2018, and 26 to 28 for the whole average of 2018 to 2020, so more closer towards 30 for 2019 and 2020, is that right?
It's Francesco Tanzi speaking. If you are talking about this year, we have addressed before with the speech from Mr. Sala, the tax rate we are expecting is between 15 and 18%. If you're talking about the future, when we have announced the signature of the agreement for the patent box, we have also announced the level of the tax rate that we are expected for the next couple of years, which is between 26 and 28%, very much in line with what we have announced during the IPO plan that were below 30%.
Okay, so 26 to 28 in each of the years 2019 and 2020, yeah?
Yes, this is an average for the 3 years.
Okay, great. And finally, if I could please clarify the drop-through on...
Sorry, that's the average for 2019-2020. 16 is this year, 2019-2020 will be between 26-28, the average of the 2 years, not of 3 years.
Yes, understood. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And final question again on the drop through of standard volume. Did I understand you correctly there that you said the reduction in standard doesn't really have a big effect on profitability? One, because of the cost savings mainly coming through in standard, and two, because the drop through on standard is not very high anyway. Is that really the way to think about it?
Correcto. It's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Christian Dierps of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Just two from my side. First, on the price mix, the 5.5% achieved in the quarter, how much of that was there just to offset the FX weakness? And then my second question, can you give a bit extra detail maybe on why the year-over-year growth in 18-inch and above tires has decelerated so much sequentially? Because if I'm looking in the second quarter, you achieved 18% year-over-year growth. In the third quarter, was 500 basis points lower at 13%. So maybe if you give a bit of some details behind this deceleration. Thank you.
Now, the only effect has been the original equipment that, because of the WPTL, was down in the third quarter. Fourth quarter, we will have a better price mix related also to the winter season, and the effect on original equipment is over on WPTL. So we see looking forward a positive trend both on price mix. And also on the winter season, because we have had a good beginning of the seasonality.
And in the price mix, the 5.5% for this quarter, you don't have a figure of how much was kind of a response to the Turkish lira or like other FX weakness that we have seen so far, just for this quarter.
The effect in price mix is net of the Forex. So when we mention 5.5, is net of Forex exchange rate. So is effect of mix and price in euros, to simplify things.
Okay, thank you.
Obviously, it includes both the price increase in emerging markets and the devaluation of currencies. So this is the net effect in euros.
Okay, understood.
Thank you.
Mr. Trocchetti Provera, there are no more questions registered at this time, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This will conclude today's call, and thank you for your attendance. Mm-hmm.